I want you to glance at the last verse of the 5th chapter of Acts. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. These people, these disciples, were abused, they were beaten, and yet, whatever was said or done against them, they yielded not an inch. They did not budge. This world's expediency would have said to them, well, look, we don't want to listen to this, you'd better go somewhere else, preach about this Jesus. Or you can leave it till later on. Then you can speak with greater advantage, perhaps, in a few weeks' time. You'd better make this doctrine of Jesus a doctrine of reserve and preach soft and slippery sermons with no sting in them. Doesn't disturb anybody. It doesn't rouse anybody. Well, the apostle said no. We continue, and we cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew 1:21, you find that when he was born, it said that his name shall be called Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. His people. Who were his people? Israel. Came unto his own things, and his own people received him not. And in the Gospel of Matthew, you have about this one who came to save his people, Israel. John the Baptist preached repentance to the nation of Israel, be baptized for the remission of their sins. And Christ, when he opened his ministry, preached repentance to Israel for the remission of sins. And we know that they rejected him. They said, this is the heir, let us kill him. And they slew him. And as it says here, the God of our fathers, verse 30, Acts 5, raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. That word tree is always used in regards to the crucifixion of Christ, in regards to the Jewish nation. But when it comes to the Gentiles, it's preaching the cross, says Paul. He preaches the cross of Christ. Because, according to Deuteronomy and the Jewish law, everyone who was hanged on a tree was cursed. And it says in verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel. Here's the key to the preaching of these disciples, Peter, and the disciples at this time. At this time, I said. This was before Acts 28, before Israel as a nation were dismissed until the fullness of the Gentiles come. And he says, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now what is implied in this assertion then, that they taught or ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ? They preached him first as the Messiah, the promised Messiah to Israel. And then they preached what every Pharisee and Sadducee and Jew in that assembly believed, that the Messiah was to come. They looked for him. They waited for him. But they denied that Jesus was he. The apostles asserted that he was. You can easily see an account for their bitter antipathy, because having crucified him, it must have been an overwhelming and terrible conviction. when they were brought to believe that the being they nailed to the cross was the very prophet that Moses prophesied of in Deuteronomy, that he should come. And they crucified not a fanatic, but the very Lord of glory, the Son of God. And as I said, the key to Acts is in Acts 1 verse 6, when the apostles asked Christ, "Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" This is the key to Acts at the start. The kingdom teaching from Matthew about the king and the kingdom and the repentance of Israel is carried right on into Acts, because the Jews had crucified their Messiah and he had prayed, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Here in Acts, they are given a second chance. A second chance to repent as a nation and accept Christ. But they didn't. There were some saved, yes. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jews. No mention of Gentiles, be careful. No Gentiles mentioned till about 8 or 10 years after Pentecost. In Acts 10, when Cornelius was saved, the Gentile and his house. And later on, when the Jews in Acts have refused again this message of repentance and acceptance of Christ as their King and Messiah, then Paul said, "Lo, I turn to the Gentiles." He was the apostle chosen by God to be the apostle of the Gentiles. And at the end of Acts, as you know, Acts 28:28, the salvation which is spoken of in John, salvation being of the Jews, God says, after the Jews were divorced as a nation because of their non-repentance, that this salvation is sent unto the Gentiles and they will hear it. But to get back to our verse, "I cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now, to fully understand this term, we must understand what the name Jesus implies in the first place. I said, as Matthew 1:21 said, "He shall save his people from their sins." Even his disciples did not call him Jesus. They did not use the personal term. Only demons used that. They said, "We know thee, Jesus, who thou art, the Son of God." Only demons called him Jesus. I was in a meeting, if you'll allow a personal note, a few weeks ago, where all I heard was the name Jesus. The speaker never gave the Lord Jesus Christ his right title. It was always Jesus, the name of shame and humiliation on the cross. Christ, of course, as you know, means Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We who are believers in the Church of the One Body of Ephesians and Colossians, we call him, as Paul called him right through his epistles, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, which means the one who is now exalted at the right hand of God, who was once humbled at the cross, where he voluntarily gave himself for us. And so they preached and they taught not only Christ as a Messiah, but as we teach, that Christ is a promised seed of the woman of Genesis, who brought joy and music to the ears of our first parents in paradise. And also Abraham recognized that fact, that Christ was not only the Messiah, but the Saviour, that he was not only to be born, but he was to suffer and die and rise again and ascend to the glory. That promise was written in and through the writings of David and all the prophets, that Christ was the one in alone in whom not only Israel, but every sinner could trust, whose name we bear, whose blood we plead at the throne of grace, and through whose mediation we look for a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And I cease not to teach and to preach Jesus as the manifestation of God in the flesh. God come down to us, was manifest in the flesh. And when I cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ, I cease not to teach and preach the great doctrine of redemption and atonement. And you'll find right through Acts that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is stressed. It says in Acts 2:32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. And right the way through, you will find the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ stressed. The scribes and the Pharisees, they told these men not to preach the name in the name of Jesus, and not to preach the resurrection from the dead. They said in verse 28 of Acts 5, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then Peter goes on to say, this man whom you slew, whom you hung upon a tree, is exalted at the right hand of God. As a prince and a saviour, what for? To save the church? To save sinners? No, it says here, for to give repentance to Israel. This is the point stressed in Acts, the beginning. Repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We must not forget that. And what do we preach today? We preach the Lord Jesus Christ as the one exalted in glory at the right hand of God. We preach the same doctrine, mark you, doctrine, as Paul preached, as they preach, forgiveness of sins. Yes, through the blood of Christ. We preach according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Don't forget that. Many pulpits today preach the cross. They don't get much farther. Oh no. A dead Christ is no good to you or me. We have a living Christ who died for us, was buried, quickened, raised and ascended, and is seated at the right hand of God, accepted by God as a sin offering for us. And so we have a risen Christ, and we preach Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the same as these people. And we also preach redemption and atonement through him. And then also we preach as they preached. They preached the coming of Christ. Acts 3:20. Acts 3:20. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here is the second coming of Christ mentioned to these people, and they are still looking for the Messiah, a Jew I used to work with some years ago. He told me, when I got in a conversation with him, he says, "You preach Christ the Messiah?" He said, "We're still looking for him." I said, "But you don't believe he's been and died for you, do you?" I said, "It would convict you of murder, wouldn't it? Of an innocent man, of God manifest in the flesh." "Oh, I don't want to listen to that." Of course he didn't. But they're still looking for the Messiah, and one of these days they shall behold him. Every eye shall see him, and they shall mourn the whole nation. And then they shall come to repentance. A nation shall be born in a day. So they preach Christ as a Saviour, redemption and atonement, and coming again. And as a redeemed sinner bought with his precious blood, we are delivered from ruin. He took our place, endured the curse. And when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, what shall I say? I'll be asked what right I have to have enter heaven, perhaps. I won't be asked that, we know. I'm supposing, of course. But if I am, what shall I say? That he who knew no sin was made sin for me, that I have done nothing but sin, might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know, many believers are not sure. I have met some who believed in Christ for years. They have their doubts. They have their fears. One cause of the disquiet of many believers is this, that one says, "I think I have a right to heaven." And another thinks, "I cannot enter into heaven, for I am not what I should be." Beloved, the right to heaven of the weakest believer, and the strongest believer is precisely the same. Weak faith that trembles on the very verge of extinction is not therefore a weak Saviour. And strong faith that can remove mountains is not therefore a strong Saviour. Weak faith lessens your comfort, but not your safety. And strong faith increases your comfort, but not your safety. Your title to heaven is not the strength of your faith, or the firmness of your hope, nor the purity of your character, nor the deeds of philanthropy you have done. It is, blessed be God, exclusively what Christ is, and what Christ has suffered, and what Christ has done, our representative for us. God so loved us as to give his only begotten Son. What should be our response? You've got that response in Romans 12, verse 1. "Brethren, I beseech you," we better look it up in case there are any misquotations of Scripture. Romans 12, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Your reasonable service. And Paul says in Philippians 1:20, that Christ should be magnified in my body. So we yield our bodies. This surrender should be as much part of a Christian's life, a believer's life, as when he is first saved. This surrender to God of the body, of the members, that we might magnify Christ in our body while here. And so this should be our attitude. Loving God, obeying God, serving God, not as a slave, a taskmaster, but as a son, showing how he loves his Father. So the apostle ceased not to teach and preach that Christ's death was a redemption of the sinner, and that never man spake as Christ did, no man lived as Christ did, and no man died as Christ did and was raised as Christ was. So, beloved, let us compare. These people preached and taught Jesus Christ as the Messiah to Israel, and they preached repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel as a nation. And what did Paul preach? You read it in Ephesians 3 and Colossians 1. He preached the dispensation of the mystery of the church of the one body. And he says in the third chapter of Ephesians, verse 1, "For this cause, I, the prisoner of the Lord, for you Gentiles." Doesn't mean to say that a Jew cannot be saved. Blessed be God. We know that. We have them in our congregations. "But are counted as one in Christ Jesus with us, belonging to the church of the one body. The twain has become one." So, beloved, we do not preach at the present day, although we preach to Jew and Gentile, this repentance of sins to Israel as a nation, because they have been put to one side. But we preach the gospel to them, that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, etc. But we preach the church of the one body of which Christ is the head. And we preach that believers are seated with him according to God's plan and purpose at the right hand of God. And these people preached the coming of Christ. And what is that? The word coming is the word parousia in Matthew, mentioned four times by the Lord Jesus Christ. It means his personal presence on earth. And if you read Zechariah 14, you'll read that his feet, the Messiah's feet, shall stand on the very place where he was crucified, on the Mount of Olives. So he's coming back here to stand on the Mount of Olives. And the parousia, which is the coming of the Lord, mentioned by these disciples in Matthew and the beginning of Acts, and by Paul up to Acts 28, was the parousia, the coming of the Lord to the heir of the First Thessalonians 4. They shall meet the Lord in the air, and the dead shall be raised together, and they shall come to the Mount of Olives. Is that your hope? Is that your calling? You should know which calling you belong to. Do you belong to the calling of Israel, with Christ reigning as King on earth? That will be glorious. Do you belong to the calling of Abraham's seed, of Galatians, that come down from heaven, the New Jerusalem, mentioned in Hebrews? Do you belong to that? Comes down from heaven. But Colossians 3, Colossians chapter 3 tells you what your hope should be and what my hope is, thank God. Colossians 3, verse 4. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear." Now this word "appear" is not the word parousia, which is used in Matthew and in Acts and in Thessalonians, etc. It's the word phaneros or phaneru, which means to shine forth as a light, to be manifested, to appear. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then," when? "Then shall he appear also with him in glory." Here is the manifestation, one phase of the return of the Lord to this earth. And this is the phase of the hope, the blessed hope, that is mentioned by Titus, looking for that blessed hope and a glorious appearing, the same word, the manifestation, the shining forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. "When he shall appear, then we shall appear with him in glory. What a wonderful hope this is. True, the people who are looking for the parousia of the Lord to come into the air and sharing in the earthly kingdom will share his glory. The people in New Jerusalem will share his glory. And we who are seated far above all with him at the right hand of God, we shall share his glory. So all three callings share in the glory of Christ. And all who share in that glory have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. The doctrine is the same, but the dispensations alter. So, we see that there is a difference between the preaching of the apostles and disciples in Acts to the preaching and teaching of Paul and the apostles after Acts 28, when the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. So this is a dispensation of the grace of God. He's preaching to the world Christ as a Saviour. God so loved the world. But he's also choosing out people for himself to belong to the church of the one body of which he is the head. And if you understand the truth of these scriptures, rightly divide the scriptures, rightly understand the dispensations, then everything will fall into their right position. Right from the 12th of Genesis to Acts 28, we have the Jew prominent. The Jew is prominent as a nation, chosen of God. And then the nation of the Jews is put on one side because they have rejected Christ and God and the Holy Spirit's witness. And in comes the mystery that was given to Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. We must not neglect Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, which is a practical epistle, and the second of Timothy, and Titus. We must read them, study them. There is all that you require in them. And Romans as a foundation, justification by faith. And upon it is built this wonderful church. This church of living ones. Each one of you who can understand and believe that you belong to this wonderful calling of the church of the one body. So we do not preach the same as the disciples and the apostles did before Acts 28. We preach slightly different. The doctrine is the same. Yes, don't forget that. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again, and ascended to the right hand of God according to the scriptures. Yes, we preach all those doctrines. Justification by faith. The same as they preached. But when it comes to dispensational truth, there is a difference. And we must mark that difference. That the disciples and apostles before Acts 28 preached repentance to Israel and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But after Acts 28, what is it? The same preaching of the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ. But there is an alteration in the dispensation. This is the dispensation of the mystery, the secret, given only to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Mark, you to the Gentiles. There were two apostleships that are mentioned in Galatians 7:1-7. One was the apostleship to the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, which was given to Paul, and one was the apostleship to the Jews. So, beloved, let us distinguish things that differ in our scriptures. These truths are given us to understand. Now, these truths of teaching and preaching of these disciples was not an incidental topic, neither is it with us. It was not a doctrine, it was the doctrine. It was not a truth, but it was Christ the truth, that they taught. Many preachers and teachers give Christ a place in their sermons, oh yes, but few give him the place. He should be the center of all preaching and teaching. And they didn't preach in a splendid display, oh no, but terse, simple, direct to the object, whether it be better to obey God or man, judge ye. For we cannot but preach that we know, which we know. And it's the same here. We preach by the grace of God what he has taught us by the Holy Spirit, through many servants of God who have been used as wonderful earthen vessels, and we thank him for every one of them, and we preach and teach that which we know. And they preached in the next place prayerfully. Oh yes, mustn't leave out prayer. They prayed in a temple. And they prayed in the upper room where 120 were assembled. And they felt what everyone should now feel. That even a divine truth cannot change a fallen heart. You can talk to some unsaved people and they're like that wood. There's no movement. But it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that can convict and convert. We cannot convert anybody. We leave it all to him. His is the power. Let us pray therefore that God the Holy Spirit would bless what we teach and preach and what we hear concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that it may be a savour of life unto life. We know that men are apathetic to God and his beloved Son in this day and age, but this should not deter us, as we have the same truths, oh yes, the same doctrinal truths as they had, but we have a little more. We have a secret, a mystery that has been revealed to us through the Apostle Paul and the earthen vessels blessed by God to show us these truths. The truths of the Word of God rightly divided. The truth of the one body of which Christ is the head. The truth that we shall be manifested with him in the glory far above all. That is our position, thank God. Also we have the same Holy Spirit, the same throne of grace, and the same power of prayer, if we would only use it. So, beloved, let us continue to preach and to teach what we know of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only as a Saviour, we thank God for that, that we are counted amongst the redeemed in glory, bought by his precious blood, but let us not preach and teach scriptures that dispensationally belong to Israel as a nation. Let us preach to the Jew as a sinner, yes, individually, but we cannot take up this Gospel of Matthew and preach that. You won't find the forgiveness of sins through the blood of Christ there. Oh no, you'll find the Lord's Prayer that they prayed, or the disciples' prayer. You'll find the Lord's Prayer in John 17. But the disciples' prayer was, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And he said, if you forgive not one another your sins or trespasses, how shall your heavenly Father forgive you? But in this teaching, this dispensation of grace, it says, and we often find fault with one another, it says, forgiving one another even as God has, for Christ's sake, forgiven you.